You know, sometimes you look at a painting and it's like, whoa, there's more to this than meets the eye, right?
Absolutely.
Well, today we're diving into one that's like that times a thousand Jacques Louis David's The Death of Marat.
It's a painting that's really stayed with people.
It's powerful stuff, and even centuries later, it still kind of hits you like a punch in the gut, you know? Soupy modern feeling.
Yeah, and I think what's so interesting about this one is it's not just showing us history, it's trying to like control how we see it.
Right, like David wasn't just making art, he was making a statement.
Totally. Every choice he made, from the style to little details, they all add up to something bigger. They turn this murder into this really potent image and a really controversial one.
Okay, so before we get too deep into the art stuff, let's set the scene a bit. This is the French Revolution, total chaos, right? And our main player is Jean-Paul Marat.
Who was the
He was one of the leaders of the Montagnard faction, which, if you remember from our last deep dive, were like the hardcore revolutionaries.
Right, like the most radical of the bunch.
Yeah, the ones who were really about that off with their heads life.
Yeah, and Marat fit right in. He was known for his extreme views and his writing, super fiery.
Yeah, he definitely did not hold back.
Not at all. And he was hugely influential during the Reign of Terror, which, if you don't know, was a super, super dark time. Lots of
Yeah,
violence.
we're talking about mass executions, right?
Exactly. And Marat was seen as one of the driving forces behind it. But he was also a complex figure. Like, he had this awful skin condition.
Oh, right. That's why he's always in the bath and the painting, right?
Exactly. He had to spend hours every day soaking in this medicated bath. So he was this powerful figure, but also very vulnerable.
Which, when you think about it, makes the way he died even more intense.
It's true. And speaking of his death, let's talk about Charlotte Corday.
Because she's the one who killed him, right?
She is. And she came from a very different part of the revolution. See, Corday was a Girondin, and they were more moderate.
Okay, so not as gung-ho about the whole killing thing.
Not really. They actually clashed with the Montagnards, thought they were going too far. And Corday, she held Marat personally responsible for a lot of the bloodshed.
Like what specifically?
Well, the September massacres were a big one. Remember when we talked about how brutal the Reign of Terror was? Well, those massacres were like a horrific preview.
Right, I remember that. So Corday blamed Marat for that, and she decided to take matters into her own hands.
Basically, I mean, this was a time of incredible upheaval and violence.
And she thought he was the root of it all.
That's how she saw it. And she was willing to go to extreme lengths to stop him.
So how does she even get close enough to Marat to kill him? I mean, wasn't he like a big deal? You'd think he'd have bodyguards and stuff, right?
Well, here's the thing, Corday. She was clever. She went to his apartment, pretending to have information about enemies of the revolution.
Like a spy, almost.
In a way, she told him she had a list of traitors, and, you know, Marat was working from his bath, which is how she got to him.
Wow, and there's a note in the painting. Is that the list that she brought with her?
Oh, good catch. Yeah, you definitely see that note right there in his hand. But, and here's where it gets interesting, it's not the actual note from Corday.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's David putting his own spin on things.
Wow, sneaky.
It just shows you how, even back then, people were using art to shape the narrative.
He's like, history, but make it dramatic.
Exactly. And to really understand why David did that, why he took those liberties, we got to talk about who David was, the artist himself. Because he wasn't just some guy with a paintbrush.
Yeah, you were saying earlier he was a revolutionary himself, right? So he's like right there in the mix of it all.
Oh, yeah, he was a major player.
Yeah.
And it really shows in his work. I mean, think about it. This is a guy who could have just painted pretty landscapes, still lifes, you know.
Right, the kind of stuff that rich people like to hang on their walls.
Exactly. But David, he was drawn to these big dramatic stories, and he wanted his art to mean something, you know, to have an impact.
And he was definitely friends with Marat, right? Like they hung out.
Yeah, it seems like they were at least part of the same circles. There are accounts that they were close, and some folks even think that David might have helped Marat write some of his more, let's say, strongly worded articles.
No kidding. So he was like a ghostwriter on top of everything else.
Maybe. That makes you wonder what they talked about, right?
I know, right? History could use some more gossip.
Totally. But back to the painting itself. You mentioned earlier that it felt surprisingly modern, even though it's what, almost 250 years old now?
Yeah, like when you see it in a museum, it's not stuck in the past, you know what I mean?
Totally. And a big part of that is David's style. So he was all about neoclassicism, which was huge at the time.
Neoclassicism, that's like togas and stuff, right?
Yeah, think ancient Greece and Rome, all about order, clarity, you know. And you can see that in paintings, clean lines, where everything's so balanced.
It is super simple. When you think about it, there's not a lot going on.
Right. It's very deliberate. Like, David's not messing around with a bunch of fancy details. He wants you to focus on the essentials, the drama, the emotion.
Which he does a really good job of, by the way.
Oh, for sure. And one of the ways he does that is with light and shadow. Like, check out how he uses light in this painting.
Yeah, it's like super intense, right?
Totally. It's like he's shining a spotlight on Murat. You can't look away. Mm. And then there's the way he's posed, that arm just sort of hanging there.
Yeah. It's kind of creepy, but also, like, beautiful at the same time.
Exactly. It's both. Mm. And that's David's genius, right? He's playing with these really intense emotions, and he's using Murat's body almost like a sculpture.
It is like a sculpture. Like, he's almost too perfect looking, you know, except for, you know, being dead.
It's idealized, right? And there are some art historians who say that Murat's pose, especially that arm, it's a direct reference to Michelangelo's Pietà.
Wait, the Pietà? That's the one with Mary holding Jesus, right?
Yeah, after the crucifixion.
Whoa, that's like a whole other level, to compare Murat to Jesus.
Right, but that's what David's doing here. He's taking this revolutionary figure and giving him this almost religious significance.
He's making him a martyr, basically.
Exactly. And the way he uses light, that kind of adds to it too. Like, see how Murat's body is bathed in this soft light?
It's almost like a halo or something.
Right. It's like he's being glorified, even in death.
It's crazy how much thought went into this one painting. So what did people think back then? When they first saw it, did they get it?
Oh, yeah. This painting, it was a huge deal when it was first shown. People were lining up for days to see it.
Really? Like it was a blockbuster movie or something?
Seriously. And for the revolutionaries, it was this incredibly powerful symbol. It was like seeing their hero immortalized.
But not everyone was a fan of the revolution, right? So what did they think?
Well, as time went on, the painting became a bit more, how do you say, controversial?
What do you mean?
Well, remember how we were saying that David was a Montagnard, like Murat?
Yeah.
Well, after the Reign of Terror ended, that whole faction, they fell out of favor, big time.
Because things got a little too real, a little too bloody.
Right. And so David, he kind of got lumped in with that. And this painting, it became a symbol of that excess of the violence.
So it went from hero to zero pretty fast.
In some circles, yeah. And in fact, there was a period where the painting was actually hidden away. Like, people didn't even want to look at it.
Wow, they really did try to erase history.
Well, they tried. But luckily, they failed. And this painting, it eventually found its way back into the light, so to speak.
It's like it went into hiding, like a real person.
It's true.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until the 1800s, the 19th century, that it really reemerged.
Which makes sense, right? Because that was when people started getting really romantic about the revolution.
Totally. All those paintings of barricades and uprisings that really captured people's imaginations.
And I guess the death of Murat, it fit right in with that whole vibe.
Oh, yeah. It became like this touchstone for artists and writers who were like obsessed with the ideals of the revolution.
So it went from being hidden away to being like super famous.
And influential. I mean, we're talking about some of the biggest names in art history were inspired by this painting. Picasso, Munch, they were all drawn to it.
Wait, really? Like Picasso, the cubism guy?
Yeah, even him. And it's not as weird as it sounds. Like Picasso was really into how David used these simple forms to create this huge emotional impact.
I never thought about it like that. But yeah, you're right. It's very stripped down, very direct.
And that influenced a lot of modern art. Like,
yeah.
You can see echoes of the death of Murat in some of Picasso's own work, like Guernica.
Oh, right. With the bowl and the light bulb and stuff.
Exactly. So yeah, from being banished to inspiring some of the most important art of the 20th century. Talk about a comeback story.
It's like the death of Murat had more lives than a cat or something.
Uh-huh. Pretty much. But, you know, it makes you wonder, what is it about this painting that's still so powerful, even now?
Yeah, why are we still talking about it, like, hundreds of years later?
I think part of it is that it reminds us that art, even art that's about history, it's always filtered through the artist's own lens, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, David wasn't just trying to show us what happened to Murat. He was trying to tell us how to feel about it.
Yeah, he had an agenda, right?
Totally. And that whole question of art versus propaganda, it's still super relevant today.
Yeah, like, when does an image cross the line from showing us something to trying to, like, control our thoughts?
That's the question.
Yeah.
And there's no easy answer.
And this might be a stretch, but it also makes me think about whose story gets told. You know, like, we're so focused on Murat, but what about Charlotte Corday?
Oh, that's such a good point.
We know she killed him, but we don't really know her side of the story, do we?
It's true. She's often reduced to this footnote in history, like, oh yeah, and she was there.
Right, like she's just a plot device, not a real person.
And it's interesting to think about how differently we might see this painting if it were from her point of view, if it was called like Corday's Justice or something.
Hurrah, interrupted.
Exactly. Yeah. Suddenly it's a whole different story, isn't it?
Totally changes everything. It's a good reminder that history is always more complicated than it seems.
And that there's always more than one side to every story.
This deep dive has been seriously eye-opening. Like, I always knew art was powerful, but this really drives it home.
Right. It's not just pretty pictures. It's about ideas. It's about how we see the world.
And this one painting, it's like a whole history lesson in itself.
And before we wrap up, I have to tell you one last thing about the death of Murat that I just find wild. Remember that note Murat's holding?
Mm-hmm.
The one that's not actually the real note from Corday?
Yeah.
The real note, the one she actually wrote, it still exists.
No way. Seriously.
Seriously. It's in the National Archives in France.
Wow. That's incredible. Like a real tangible piece of history.
I know, right? It's like this physical connection to that moment.
It's kind of chilling when you think about it. Like we've been talking about this painting and the ideas behind it and all this time, that note, it's just been sitting there.
Quietly reminding us that this was a real event with real people and real consequences.
Wow. Okay, I think I need a minute to process all of this.
Uh-huh. I hear you. It's a lot to take in.
It has been amazing having you on. I always learn so much from our deep dives, and this one's going to stick with me for a while.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
And to everyone listening, thanks for coming along on this journey with us. Keep exploring, keep asking questions, and we'll see you next time for another deep dive.